Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Good morning, everyone. This is Vicki Dobbs coming to you to live with Kindred Spirits. I'm the founder of Wisdom Evolution and head cheerleader for the You First Revolution, encouraging you to put you at the top of your priority list, to choose you first. Hashtag you matter. Please pop on over to my website at VickiDobbs.com to find out more about the programs I offer and sign up for my Friday Food for Thoughts newsletter. You'll find a gift for my audience there, a printable journal, just for you listeners who love to take notes, record those aha moments or questions, even write down those little whispers of wisdom that float by on the wind. And I'd love for you to join our circle of support. Choosing you first is not a selfish act. It's an act of self-preservation that allows you to gift the world with the best of you, not just what is left of you. And today, I'm excited to introduce you to my guest, Mark Ireland. Mark is the founder of Helping Parents Heal, an organization with more than 24,000 members that assist bereaved parents worldwide. He's participated in mediumship research studies, that's a mouthful, conducted by the University of Arizona and the University of Virginia, and he currently operates a medium certification program. He is the author of Soul Shift, and his newest book, The Persistence of the Soul, which are moving accounts of his personal quest for answers about life after death, subsequent to the passing of his youngest son. And as I have come to meet so many who have lost children after I lost a child, we share so much in common, and I'm just excited to talk to and welcome Mark. Hi, Mark. How are you this morning?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
Oh, Good to chat. I have so enjoyed your book. The personal accounts resonate so much with my own experiences that I'm really excited to get into a conversation with you. And from your first book, Soul Shift, and now this new one, The Persistence of the Soul, what's continued to motivate you to investigate and write about mediumship and afterlife evidence? What's been your why?
Well, if you go back, in my life, I actually was raised by a father who was a prominent psychic and medium, kind of before it was fashionable, from the 50s through the 80s primarily. And so I just grew up with this as a part of my daily life. But that being said, I didn't really pursue the same path as my dad. Didn't want to be like my parent necessarily, but then again, I didn't really see myself having that level of ability like my father had. He counseled a lot of Hollywood people like Mae West, who I got to meet when I was 19, Amanda Blake from Gunsmoke, and David Jansen, Glenn Ford, and others. And I even have a card from the Eisenhower family congratulating my dad on marrying my mom in 1956. But I took a more mainstream path, went to college, got a degree, got married at a young age. I went into the business world. We had a couple of boys. And was just kind of cruising along doing that. And it was the unexpected passing of my youngest son, Brandon, when he was 18 years old, that kind of shook me and pulled me back into my dad's field. Because for one thing, you know, I had an advantage a lot of folks don't have when a child passes, and that is I didn't just have to rely on blind faith. I had all those experiences as a kid growing up that I knew that we were more than just a body and a brain, and that we are a soul here for a temporary set of experiences to refine us and grow us. sometimes in the very painful ways. But that's kind of the backdrop, and it was passing my son that really was the catalyst for me getting into this and pursuing it at a level, initially just for comfort for myself and for my family, but then to share my stories with other people and to even get into it from kind of a scientific angle as well for people who are open-minded but more analytical thinkers. And that's kind of what pushed me down this path.
Well, I totally understand it. When you lose someone very close to you, most especially those of us who have lost a child, there was an intense need to make a connection, to find out more. I think I probably bought every book out there on life after death or connecting the consciousness of those that have passed. And certainly Soul Shift is a great book as that resource, but Persistence of the Soul has a much more grounded feel for me. The stories that you share, I can resonate with. I haven't quite finished the whole book, but every story that I have read resonates with an experience that I had. So maybe talk to us a little about those synchronicities that maybe we don't catch in the moment but look back on, and how maybe we can hold on to some of those that at a point in the future will perhaps give us great solace.
Well, I think part of it is just being aware and keeping your eyes open, your mind open, and just noticing things that are unusual that pop up that seem to lead down a path that can be very helpful and kind of give you guideposts in your own life. I've had some very overt ones, so I feel like I've been spoiled in many ways through so many different types of synchronicities, but also the afterlife connections, both directly through mediums and a variety of means. In terms of just synchronicities in general, I'll just give you an example of one that this is just typical of the kinds of things that have happened in my life. A number of years ago, our older son, Stephen, got married, and that was in May, and over the July 4th holiday, we were coming to visit him. And we lived in Scottsdale, Arizona, I'm from Phoenix. But our son had moved with his bride up to Portland, Oregon, and we were going to visit them for the 4th of July holiday. And we had been talking, like, well, maybe we should get second place up there, a small condo or something, because they'll probably have kids and we'll have grandkids. And the day before we left, they get a call from a recruiter, and I was actually looking for a new job at the time, and he says, hey, Mark, that's the perfect job for you, but I don't think you'll want it because I know you don't want to move. I'm like, well, where is it? He says, Portland, Oregon. So I end up on that trip. I interview for the job. They bring me back the following week for a second. 6 weeks later, I'm driving up to start a new job in the Portland area. So with those kinds of things, I just say thank you, and I figure, there's some pattern or path to our life, and I look at that as probably my dad, my son, maybe helping me out a little bit there. But I would just say sometimes they're not that overt, but don't take for granted that things are always a coincidence. Just give thanks for those kinds of things that line up, and they can be guideposts, like I said, to other things.
Yeah, we've had some very interesting experiences. For me, it started with feathers. My son knew how much I loved finding feathers. And I would suddenly get this feeling to either look in an area where I was or to go to an area where I had found feathers before, and inevitably every time there would be significant feathers. We're talking hawk feathers, raven, large feathers that you don't find every day on your path. And so for me, there was a lot of connection to him through feathers. And for my husband, it as a skeptical and never really anybody who talked about that sort of thing, I was in Arizona. We have a home in Cave Creek, and he was still at our house in the Central Valley here in California, and I called him to see what he was doing. He said, you're not going to believe what happened. And he's standing at the bookshelf, and a picture of he and our son roping together fell off the bookshelf right at his feet, and the picture didn't picture frame didn't break, the glass didn't break, and it was just one of those first moments for him that Ryan was reaching out. And is this ability to connect with a consciousness something that besides your dad is present in other members of your family?
Well, actually, yeah. People that research this field have come to the conclusion that it does follow family lines. And my family, that's definitely true. Not only my father's side, but my mom's side, too. I had two aunts that were fairly psychic. My aunt grandmother on my mom's side, and my mom had a little bit, too. On my father's side, going back to my great-grandmother, apparently read tea leaves. And my grandmother, his mom, became a trance medium. So, yeah, it does run in family lines. I've had plenty of my own experiences as well. I have not really sought to call myself a psychic or a medium or pursue this as a full-time vocation or whatever for a number of reasons, but I've definitely had flashes of it. I'd say sometimes it's more spontaneous, and maybe if it's something I worked on, it could be developed to a greater degree. I'd be happy to share a couple examples if you'd like.
Sure.
The one that I put in Soul Shift was when I was going back to when I was 18 years old. I was dating this girl, and I had a dream one night that she was seeing another guy. That kind of made me jealous, but the funny thing was I knew his physical description as well as his first and last name. And the next day I mentioned this dream to her, and she said, well, tell me more. And I'm like, nah, it was just a dream. And she's like, no, please tell me. And so I described this guy, he's so tall, this color hair, blah, blah, blah. And his name is Bob Dooley. And she said, oh, my gosh, I dated a guy named Bob Dooley in Kansas, and he looked just like that. So that was kind of a strange strange one, but very, very specific. More recently, however, for a three-year stint, I was traveling to San Francisco to speak at a church called the Golden Gate Spiritualist Church. And this church was founded in 1924 by a woman named Florence Becker, who by all accounts had very similar abilities to my father. And each time I went there to speak, I brought along a medium friend, Tina Powers from Tucson, who's a very gifted person and also a very kind and wonderful lady. So this particular time we're going, Tina says to me, hey, Mark, I think you're going to get a message to share with the congregation. Will you share it? I'm like, oh, sure. If something comes through, I'll share it. You know, no problem. I wasn't really anticipating anything. But anyhow, I said that I would. And then as the day came closer, you know, she kept bugging me, Mark, if you get a message, will you share it? And I'm like, yes, I will. Even walking into church the day of the service, the same thing. She's like, oh, Mark, if you get a message, will you share it? And I'm like, yes. So we go in. We're about 30 minutes early. I sit down in a healing room on a bench to a piano or an organ, and I just quiet my mind. And while I'm sitting there, my mind's like blank. A name pops in, Max. Now, I didn't see it. I didn't hear it. It just came to me like an idea or a thought. And then right after that, Maxine, another name, Maxine. I thought, oh, maybe it's Maxine and not Max. Anyhow, that's all I got. Those two names popped into my awareness. And then I went to give my talk, and at the end I said, you know, Tina's made me promise that if anything were to come to me, I'd share it. So I have to ask if the names Max or Maxine mean anything to anyone here. When I said that, the pastor of the church's jaw dropped, and he's like, well, Max and Maxine were twins born to the church founder, Florence Becker, and I think we know who is here right now. Then he went on to say the twins, they were delivered stillborn and grew up in spirit on the other side. Then after the service, he took me upstairs and showed me a painting that I believe was done by the church founder, Florence Becker, some landscape, and it had a long, winding road. And at the end of that road were two little figures, and he goes, that's Max and Maxine. So that's one that, you know, to get even one of those names would be pretty remarkable, but both, and to have them kind of have that level of significance to that church was really interesting. But those are examples, and those are kind of sporadic events in my life.
That's pretty powerful. And having grown up around it with your father, do you think that it leaves you more open because you've seen the power of possibility in all of this, and You don't have that shield that a lot of us had to move through in order to accept what was happening as a truth and a reality for it, not just conjecture and wishful thinking.
Yeah, I would say. I mean, I'm still a very grounded, pragmatic, analytical type person, at least, but I'm a blend of right and left brain. I'd say that, you know, I'm balanced that way, but definitely that helped me really recognize it much sooner and embrace it more than the average person. And when our son passed, I mean, some of the experiences we had early on, those things helped my family, my wife and I really heal much more quickly. I think we recovered and we're back in a decent place much faster than most other people that I've met who have been through this. And I give that, I attribute a big part of it to that, the knowledge I had growing up and being able to accept that without being overly skeptical. I mean, what I'm skeptical about is just when people claim things. I know that the phenomena exists and it's real. It's just that some people are more adept at it than others, and some people can be deluded and think they have something they don't really have, or they have it to a minimal degree. But yeah, I think that helped a lot.
Yeah, I think probably we've all experienced that, going to whomever just for that glimmer of hope and walking away going, well, anybody could have guessed that, or anybody could have guessed that, or anybody could have guessed that, as opposed to walking away with the, oh my God, how could they have known that?
Right. And when the quality of validation is like so specific and so pertinent to you or your situation, that's when you really have to say, okay, this isn't just somebody saying grandma's here and she loves you, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah. I had an experience with Lisa Williams once, and both of my parents are gone, and she brought my father through and then my mother, and she's a little tiny person, you know, and I'm fairly tall, but all of a sudden she's looking up and then she's looking down and then she's looking up again and looking down, and she goes, boy, he was tall, wasn't he? And that just blew my mind, because my dad was 6'6" and my mom was only 5'7". So for her to be looking back and forth at that difference in their height was one of those, oh, this might be real situations. You know, I think
it's awesome
all
were able to get with her.
Yeah, it was an interesting time, and so you shared a couple of evidential stories for yourself, and I've alluded to a couple of my own. In Persistence of the Soul, one of the things that I wanted to bring up is you talk about the combination of therapy and mediumship. And I know for me, it was probably 4 or 5 years after my son left, and I was struggling to just stay connected with life. I'm blessed to have had a daughter who kept saying, Mom, I'm not going home until you get up, get dressed, and feed yourself. And when you've got a kid telling you that, it's kind of like, well, I guess I got to get up, get dressed, and feed myself. And it was, I eventually did find my way to therapy and felt, you know, less than helped, only because I ended up knowing more about my therapist, and I think he probably understood about where I was. And so I love the fact that from that pragmatic side of you, you talk about the value of therapy in combination with the value of mediumship and psychic readings. So, you know, I'm a talker, but I'm going to let you rattle on about that one.
Well, the Winbridge Institute, which researches mediums under very tightly controlled conditions, has also done some research into the effects of people grieving that have a validating mediumship reading. And really the findings were that having a good mediumship experience combined with therapy is far more healing than therapy alone. Which is no surprise to me, or probably other people who I'm around, because we've experienced that. But the trick there is, you know, obviously having a therapist who's open-minded enough, or maybe you don't even have to mention your readings to them. But I think the other bigger part is having a vetted medium that you know is the real deal. And that's
right.
Part of the reason I set up the mediumship certification program that I had established, because after Soul Shift came out, I was barraged with requests for references for people who wanted to get a reading from a qualified medium. And at that time, I knew maybe half a dozen of them, but most of them were like celebrity mediums. They were very gifted, but they were also maybe more expensive than some people could afford or wanted to pay, and had long wait lists. So I thought to myself, you know, there must be a lot of other people with this ability at a high level that are just unknown or undiscovered. And that's how that started. But yeah, that combination can be very effective. I've also put together kind of my own list that I call the five pillars of healing, which is really derived from the observations I made from the people who came into our organization helping parents heal. Very despondent and down and left in a much better place.
The program that you have helping parents heal sounds like a fabulous resource for somebody that is steeped in grief. To have that kind of support and an outlet for their own voice when maybe they don't feel comfortable sharing with family or friends. So I'd love to talk with you a little bit more about your foundation, and as soon as we have to take the good old break for a few minutes here, we'll be back in a few talking with Mark Ireland and the Persistence of the Soul.
Great. I'm happy to share that when we come back.
It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Vicki Dobbs, and I'm having a wonderful conversation for you to join in with Mark Ireland, author of The Persistence of the Soul. And Mark and I were just discussing his foundation and the wonderful organization that he has for helping parents heal. And it's an organization with over 24,000 members that is an assistance to bereaved parents worldwide. And Mark, I'd love for you to share all about that so we can get more out into the world.
Sure. And it's actually, it was 24,000 last fall. We're now 26,000, so you can tell it's growing rapidly, which is sad on one hand that people need the resource, but good that we're there to help them. The reason we exist really is because there are other organizations that assist parents who've had a child pass, but none of them allow the open discussion of spiritual experiences or afterlife evidence. We do. We think that's a big deal. That's a differentiator in our approach, that we allow that, because you don't want people bottling these things up, and those are very hopeful pieces of information for people to share with others. So we do have not only the 26,000 members, we have 175 affiliate chapter locations around the world. So folks who need that hopefully can find a group close to them. And even if they don't, we have all kinds of Zoom presentations going on almost daily that people can see, with a variety of really top-notch speakers, from people like Raymond Moody, the author of Life After Life, who coined the term near-death experience. We've had him. We've had Dr. Evan Alexander, a neuroscientist who had a near-death experience. We've had top mediums like Gordon Smith and Maureen Hancock and others. So there's a lot of resources there. But as much as anything, it's an opportunity for folks to meet others who have been through the same thing, because they can talk the same language and know that the person they're talking to really understands what it's like. We had a conference in 2022, and we have another one coming up this August that will have actually 1,000 people will attend. And the last one we had, the hotel personnel were really concerned about this group of bereaved parents coming in, thinking it was going to be very somber and a real downer. But by the end, they said, "You are the best group we've ever had. The energy was so high." And I think it was the combination of getting folks together to form those new relationships with others who could, they could relate with, but also, you know, hearing the presenters and seeing the evidence in mind-blowing ways sometimes really took people to another level. And in one case, I would say one of the main things was a lot of men came to this, and our group on the whole has a very low percentage of men. It seems like fathers tend to bottle things up more because of cultural influence from the past, and don't allow themselves to show emotion or you know, share their truth and things like that. But in this setting, the women came to the conference and brought their husbands or their boyfriends and partners, and so they were there and they were exposed to all of this, and it really made a shift. And one of the subgroups of Helping Parents Heal is called Helping Fathers Heal. That was very slow to get off the ground for the reasons I described earlier, but has since just gone skyrocketed in membership. So I think the conference had a lot to do with really seeding that and taking that forward. So that's the deal with the organization. And you're right, it has helped a lot of folks and continues to do so. And we're just growing so rapidly. Our biggest problem is being able to handle that growth and move forward in an effective way, because we've been all volunteer up till now for more than a decade. And when our president's working 100 hours a week and our vice president's working 80, and they don't have much support, you finally get to the point where you have to start, at least to some degree, operating a little bit as a business and do some fundraising. So that's where we're at now. But the people
where will
that are
your
involved,
August event be held?
It's going to be in the Phoenix area. It's a hot time of year there, but the reason we did that is because we have a great facility, and it's very affordable. It's got a great room rate. It's a Sheraton Wild Horse Pass, I believe it's called. It's on the south side of the Phoenix area, and I think it's $120 a night for the hotel, which is unheard of for a resort. But, you know, we're almost sold out now, so if anyone's interested, they'll want to check into that right away. We had, at last count, 900 registered, and we have a capacity of 1,000. It'll be in, yeah, August of this year.
And how would they contact you or the organization to check into that?
Just go to the website. You know, I was going to share, I could either share three or four different websites, or I'll just give mine, and then what you'll find is links to all these on my site. My site is markirelandauthor.com. That's Mark with a K, Ireland like a country, author, markirelandauthor.com. And not only will you find my stuff on there, my books and videos and other things, you'll find a link to Helping Parents Heal. And if you go to the Helping Parents Heal site, you'll find information on the conference there. There's also a link to the mediumship certification program that I have established. Someone's looking for a vetted medium. And then I've got links to my dad, too, where videos of him, like on the Steve Allen Show, doing a psychic demonstration in 1971, and a lot of other pertinent things that people might find interesting.
Oh, that's awesome. So that's markirelandauthor.com. And I myself am going to check out the Phoenix event. Having a house in Cave Creek, and living in Central California, give or take 5 or 10 degrees, the weather's not really different. So
yeah, the Central Valley can get a little hot too, as I recall.
Yeah, you think 112 this last summer, not bad. It was 119 in Phoenix. You know, what's the difference? How fast the egg fries on the sidewalk?
Yeah, fortunately, it's not like that every day. But you're right. At times, it can get pretty crazy.
Well, Sarah,
cooler because a little more altitude there.
For us, the air is so much cleaner and clearer that we go to Cave Creek to breathe, and the Central Valley, unfortunately, has kind of this inversion layer that holds everything in because it has no place to go. We're surrounded by mountains.
Right.
So it's a good place to go and breathe. But I digress. I'd love for you to share about your books and maybe even how they differ from each other.
Sure. I know we don't have much time before the next break, so I'll try and do this rapid fire.
Come back to it.
Yeah. Soul Shift was my memoir, my initial journey right after Brandon passed. I speak to a lot of crazy things that happened that told me it was more than just my imagination or coincidence. And then it kind of led me down this path to re-examine my dad's field. And in the course of that, I met not only some top mediums but researchers, and then had recounted some other experiences that are more direct in nature than just, you know, going to a medium. Nothing wrong with going to a medium. I just don't think people should overdo it. You know, I think you want to be well-rounded. Don't go to a medium too often, and develop your own kind of spiritual practices and connect on your own directly if you can. I can give a quick example of one that happened for me, you know, just a day or two after Brandon passed. And that was, I wanted a direct connection, so I went into a darkened room, which is actually a walk-in closet. Turned off the light and sat there and quietly, and within a reasonable period of time, an image of my son, Brandon, scrolled across my mind's eye, and he was glowing and feeling joyful. So I thought, oh, that feels really good. He's joyful. He's happy. Right after that, I got a symbol of a cross with an oval loop at the top. And at the time, I didn't know what that was. So when I was done, I had to go research it and look it up and found out it's an Ankh, which is the oldest cross of human history, dating back about 5,000 years to the Egyptians, symbolizing the lower portion of the cross, physical life, and the oval loop at the top, eternal life. So what I felt I got was a coded message that showed me my son is joyful, he's peaceful, and he's in eternal life. And had I already known what the Ankh was, I would have blamed my subconscious mind on trying to make me feel better.
Let's come back to the Ankh. I think that's an amazing story, and we have to take a break here. So we'll be right back with Mark Ireland in just 2 minutes. Hang in with us.
Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickiDobbs.com. Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickiDobbs.com. At VickiDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicki's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickiDobbs.com. That's VickiDobbs.com. It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicki Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicki Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickiDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
We are back with Mark Ireland, and I'm sorry I had to interrupt him sharing that amazing story about the symbol of the Ankh. And Mark, would you kind of take it from there? Because I didn't mean to interrupt you, but, you know, they got to have commercials.
Sure, I know. I was trying to wrap it up fast, but I wasn't fast enough. Anyhow, so as I described, I was I've gone into my darkened closet, shut the door, and tried to meditate and see if I could get a connection with my son. And this is just, like I said, a day or two after he passed. And within a short period of time, I saw his face in my mind's eye, and it kind of scrolled across. And it was glowing, and it felt joyful and happy, and that made me feel good. But then right after that, I got an unexpected symbol that it was totally unexpected. It was a cross with an oval loop at the top, which is an Ankh. And I didn't know that at the time, so I didn't know what it was. It just, I'd seen people wear these, the cross with the Nova Loop at the top, but didn't know what they were. So I had to then go Google it afterward to find out it was the oldest cross in human history, dating back about 5,000 years to the ancient Egyptians, and it's called an Ankh. And the lower portion of the cross symbolizes physical life, the Nova Loop at the top symbolizing eternal life. So what I got was a coded message that my son was joyful and in eternal life and happy. So that meant a lot to me, because had I known what that symbol meant, I could have just blamed my subconscious mind on giving me something to make me feel good. But I didn't know what that meant, so I had to go find out what it meant. And so to me, that was a pretty powerful thing. And
it touched the heart and soul with that kind of message.
Yeah, absolutely. It was very helpful. And then it was, I think, the third day that I connected with my uncle, who had similar abilities to my father. Now, my dad had been gone for 12 years at this point, but my uncle, we could, actually, ironically, I was in the mortuary making arrangements when we connected by cell phone, and he said, "Hey, Mark, I have something to tell you. I tried to connect last night and couldn't get anything at all, but I was doing my morning meditation today, and your dad came to me, and he wanted you to know he was there when Brandon passed."
Mm.
And he said Brandon was a little confused at first, but your dad helped him adjust and understand what was happening. He said Brandon wanted you to know you're the best parents he ever could have had. That's the warm, fuzzy thing we like to hear, but then I got the evidence, because we didn't know Brandon's cause of death. All we knew is that he'd been on a mountain climb with buddies behind our home in Scottsdale, and that he basically collapsed and passed out and didn't wake up. So my uncle said, "Your dad said Brandon's death was caused by a lack of oxygen in his bloodstream that caused his heart to fail." And then 2 days later, the autopsy physician contacted me and said, "Your son passed from a severe asthma attack that drove his blood oxygen levels down, causing cardiac arrest." So essentially my uncle gave me that answer 2 days before the autopsy results were revealed to me.
Wow. Such proof positive that there is more to us than the physical bodies that we inhabit on Earth. So beautiful. And I don't know, I'm sitting here in awe of the stories you share, because they're reminding me of my own experiences, and I know that having experienced your amazing father and then other family members, are there any of the, like, evidential stories you'd like to share about your dad's abilities? As you just shared, he came through your uncle to give you an amazing message about Brandon.
Sure. I'll share a couple stories. The first one let me share that happened that involved him, but him on the other side, that's kind of unique and interesting. So 3 weeks after Brandon passed, I was watching the local news in Phoenix on the NBC affiliate, and they were showing a story about research being done at the University of Arizona where they took mediums under blinded conditions and had them read for sitters they didn't know, and that they weren't allowed to converse with directly. Instead, a researcher served as a proxy to ask the medium questions that they had to answer. And in this case, the medium was Alison Dubois, before she became big, because the show Medium had not yet come out. And she was giving really a lot of specific information. It was not just vague stuff. It was highly specific. And they'd then debriefed with the sitter after it was over with, and the sitters had confirmed, like, virtually everything she said was accurate. And again, these were, like, not common things that were shared. And I was really impressed. I thought, geez, I'd love to get a reading with her, and I'd love to, you know, be in that lab someday. And little did I know, both things would later happen. In fact, the very next day, I get a call from a man named Jerry Concert, who knew my father, and he said, hey, Mark, I know what you've been through, and I know someone who might be able to help you. Her name is Alison Dubois, and here's a phone number you can call to get an appointment for a reading. I thought, okay, my dad's pulling strings, because that was just last night. I saw this news feature, you know. So, but even then, even though the show Medium had yet to come out, she was still had a huge following. So it was about 8 months before I could get in there, August of that year. So 2 weeks before I meet her, a gentleman who knew my dad and I knew handed me a box, and inside the box were all these typewritten 8.5 by 11 pages. And I'm like, what is this? And he goes, well, it's a manuscript your dad left behind. And it said, Your Psychic Potential, A Guide to Psychic Development, by Richard Ireland, dated 1973. I'm like, well, how did you get this? He said, well, your dad gave it to me for safekeeping before he passed, because you were out of state at the time. I'm like, well, that was 12 years ago. Why are you giving this to me now? He says, I don't know. I just feel like I'm supposed to. 2 weeks later, I meet Alison Dubois, and one of the first things she tells me is, I've got your father here, and he's shown me a book, but I believe it's his book. However, he's handing it to you for you to take forward. Does that make sense to you? I'm like, yeah, I think I get that.
Wow.
And I actually was subsequently able to get that book published. So that was pretty cool. So that's part of me helping fulfill my dad's legacy. But in terms of other amazing stories, I mean, his were kind of all over the board. There are a lot of tremendously psychic kinds of things, but I've seen the mediumship done that was very compelling, where he shared a lot of specifics with folks that they knew to be correct and accurate and true, that were very healing to them. But one of the most amazing is, I guess you'd call it, it's hard to even describe what this is, because it seems to violate time, the whole idea of our concept of time. I was doing a talk one time promoting Soul Shift at that time, and a woman came up to me, and she says, hey, Mark, I have a great story to tell you about your father. And she actually gave me a printed out version of this, and then she told it to me. And she said, you know, I first saw your father in 1963, and he was doing a psychic demonstration, and he asked everyone to write a question on a piece of paper. And so he had taped and blindfolded his eyes, which is his normal practice. He used 10 strips of Johnson & Johnson medical tape, which, if you've never seen it, is extremely strong adhesive and completely opaque, and then put 3 black blindfolds over that, then more tape over the blindfolds down below his cheeks so no one could say he was able to look down or anything like that. It was more for effect, because he wouldn't be able to share all the information he did anyhow, even if he could read these. So the folks were asked to write a question. This woman, Norma Poling, said she was contemplating which question to ask. Should I ask if I'll have a fourth child, or should I ask whether I'll get my master's degree? Well, she only thought to ask the one about the master's degree. She wrote that down, and he later answered her and said, yes, you'll get it. And she did. And then she says, I didn't see him for 5 years. I went back 5 years later, same demonstration as before. I asked a new question this time and sent it up. And then he answered me. He says, Norma, oh, Norma Poling, I see you had that fourth child. Now, keep in mind, that question's one she only contemplated asking 5 years earlier and never wrote down.
Wow. Well, I love the stories, Mark, and I want to hear more. We've got to take another quick last break, and then we'll be back for our wrap-up session. Join us in another 2 minutes.
Learning to tap into the evolution of your own wisdom is hard, but now there's a place you can go where you can find some resources to do just that. VickyDobbs.com. At VickyDobbs.com, not only can you get free resources to help you get connected to Source, but you can find out about Vicky's Sacred Wisdom Workshops, sign up for her blog, or buy her book. Don't pass up this opportunity to discover your evolution of self. Visit VickyDobbs.com. That's VickyDobbs.com. It's time. Time for you. Sometimes we set aside our own wants and needs for others, and that's okay as long as you take care of yourself first. It's like putting the oxygen mask on yourself before your child. The same applies to life. But it is hard in such a busy world. But no worries. Vicky Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, helps you every step of the way. Everybody needs help, and here is yours. Get your copy of Vicky Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf at VickyDobbs.com, Amazon.com, or anywhere fine books are sold. Life is a personal journey. Don't bury yourself under such a busy life that you set your own aside. Vicky Dobbs' new book, Get Off the Shelf, uses a blend of ancient wisdom, modern modalities, art and creativity, so you learn to choose you first, which gives the world the very best of you, not just what's left of you. So don't put your head in the sand, do something about it. When you realize you have lost yourself, buried in your busy life, then gift yourself a copy of Vicky Dobbs' Get Off the Shelf, available at your favorite book source and at VickyDobbs.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Dobbs, and I'm back with Mark Ireland, who I'm so pleased to be in connection with, sharing these powerful stories that are just maybe for all of us who walk this path of grief, that there is hope, there is light, there is all these wonderful, amazing, powerful stories that just validate that there's more to come. So you were just sharing a great story about, you know, your father and some of the work that he did, and it's maybe talk about a little more even about your helping parents heal. I know for me, people wouldn't talk, and I didn't want to talk to my mother because it was her grandson, and she didn't want to talk to me because, you know, I had a husband and a daughter I could talk to, and There was this whole weird family dynamics that went on in my situation, and even with friends, I used to tell people, thank you for asking about him. Thank you for telling me that story of when. I think it's so important for people to know, as a bereaving parent, I want to hear the stories about my kid. Yeah, you might get tears, but I want to hear what he meant in your life, how he affected you, the joy that he brought, the laughter that you shared, the trouble you probably got into that mom didn't know about, but it's okay if mom knows now.
Yeah, I think part of what I've observed with the organization yielded this thing that I call the five pillars of healing. The first pillar being support from family and friends. If you can get that, not everyone has a highly functioning family, so sometimes it's not possible, but within that, if you do, I think it's nice for people to understand that most of us want to talk about our child. We want to talk about happy memories. So you don't have to brush that under the rug. Let's talk about it, you know? The second pillar is meeting people who have been through the same thing as you. And that's where we can come in and help, you know, connect people so they can develop friendships and relationships with folks who've also had a child pass. Because no one else really understands it. You can't understand it unless it's happened to you, is what we've really found to be the case. The third pillar is service, and that is to provide service in some other way that helps someone else, because it comes back to heal you too. It may not be something you can do immediately, but down the road, once you've gotten a little bit stronger, it's very helpful, whether that's working in the soup kitchen, working to support seniors, whatever, a foundation that raises money for some worthwhile cause. That's service, and as you give, it comes back to you.
The fourth pillar is letting go of feelings of grief. Of guilt. A lot of parents, many, maybe most, blame themselves in some way. They'll say, "I could have done this. I should have done that. I should have seen the signs." You have to let go of that because you really can't control destiny. Things happen. And I would say the vast majority of cases, you could not have done anything to stop it. So you have to let go of that. That's holding you back from healing and moving forward. Likewise, alongside of that guilt release is letting go of feelings of anger towards others that you may harbor. In other words, not forgiving someone that you're holding responsible, whether that be a medical professional, someone who is involved in some way in the accidental death of your child. It's not easy to do. This is probably the hardest thing that I suggest people consider doing, is to let go of that anger and forgive people, because really the person you're hurting is yourself by harboring that and holding on to that. And then the last pillar is the one, what I call the hope pillar, and that's being open to and receive and being open to and looking into evidence for the afterlife, and hopefully having some of your own personal experiences like we've described, or having a mediumship reading, or looking into some of the other information available. For some people, it's brand new to them. They've never had any interest, or some other people may just have grown up in a traditional religion and all only viewed it from through that lens. That person might start, or those folks might start like you did, like reading different books on the topic, whether it's, my kind of books about mainly focused on mediumship and direct after-death communications, or whether it's near-death experience books or other forms of books that discuss these types of issues to help you better understand the evidence that's out there for life after death and for the continuity of life for your loved one that's passed. And that's really what helping parents heal, what I've seen it deliver in terms of that hope element, and also the meeting other people and having those kinds of relationships with folks you can identify with.
Oh, that's so true. And for any of my friends out there listening, thanks for the stories. And I think one of the things that constantly comes back to me is the stories. And I'll just briefly share a quick one. The home that we lived in for over 40 years was demolished to make space for the California Health Science Institute just 2 weeks ago. And I was out of town, so my daughter called and said, just be aware when you come home. And I called a neighbor. And this neighbor's parents had grown up in, had been living in the next door to us when we moved in. Their youngest sons were friends with my son, even though my son was several years older. He really enjoyed younger children and always played with them. And so I asked, go take a picture of the chimney that's left. And she wrote me back this amazing story that her husband shared with her. Now, Ricky was the youngest of the kids that grew up in the Kressel household, and so for him to have such fond memories of our son that was so beautiful that she wrote to me how emotional he got. He's a police officer. He was involved with an eviction of squatters that were in the house, and so he was there and had been there as a kid. And for her to write and tell me how Ryan had been the best friend he could have ever asked for at the age he was, because he had learned so much from Ryan, who was so patient with him despite their age difference. And she finished by telling me that, she hoped I wouldn't be sad but proud that the Lord gave me such a remarkable son. And I can only say to any parent out there who's lost a child, give your friends, your family, your acquaintances, anybody else in your life, permission to talk to you and to share the stories. Because for me, those stories were what gave my son's life validation. At first, the loss is like, well, there's not even anything left here that he was ever on earth. And yet those stories are what remains. Those stories are proof positive. So
yeah, that's wonderful. We had a number of notes like that given to us from other kids about Brandon, and some including that really revealed his nature as an altruistic person, you know, befriending kids that were unpopular or had no friends and just putting other people first, things like that. But I do have one of the best stories I haven't shared yet. I thought you might want me to squeeze that in before we wrap up.
Sure.
So it was 2 weeks after Brandon passed, I saw my first intuitive, and she wasn't really a medium, but she did have some of that ability to connect. And one of the things she said was, I think within 6 months you'll see Brandon at the side of your bed. 6 months later, we're preparing to go on a cruise, and we were originally going to take this cruise to celebrate Brandon's graduation from high school. But since he wasn't physically able to go, since he'd moved on, we took his older brother, Stephen, and Brandon's best buddy, Stu. Before leaving, though, a friend of ours, James Linton, who was a musician, had his own studio, played guitar, composed songs, and was a singer, asked if he could borrow Brandon's bass, because he didn't have one. And Brandon was a bass player, so we said, sure, you can borrow it. And we'd actually met James because he had been on the mountain the same day as Brandon. He and his group got to Brandon on his back and tried to help, but they were there too late. So we found out about him because he put a note on the online obituary with his contact information. We then followed up by contacting him, met, and became friends. So anyhow, we loan him the base. We go on this cruise. We're gone for a week. We come back. The day we get back, my wife's sitting at the foot of our bed, and she suddenly feels Brandon's presence and sees him as a shadow figure out of her peripheral vision. And the next day, she gets a call from James, and James said, Susie, I've got something to tell you. I don't know how to share it. She was afraid he'd broken the base, but it wasn't that at all. He said, Susie, I was recording a song, and while I was in there, I felt the presence of another person, and I saw him as a shadow figure. And then I saw flashes of white light, and I thought I was hallucinating, so I got water, I got food. But every time I came back, it was stronger and stronger. And he finally said, Brandon, what do you want? And then he felt guided to redo the lyrics and bass line in the song. And it's called The Other Side. He goes, this is the best song I've ever written, but I didn't write it.
So wow.
Regardless
That's
of the
such
song,
an amazing story, Mark. And I hate to cut you off, but I want folks to hear that they can find you at markirelandauthor.com. And to be sure to look up what's available for them, the resources that you have, the Healing Parents program and foundation. And just to let folks know to get your books, The Soul Shift or Persistence of the Soul, anywhere good books are sold, they're worth the read. This is Vicki Dobbs, founder of Wisdom Evolution and head cheerleader for the You First Revolution, reminding you it's time to give yourself permission to be first in your world, to put you on your own calendar and choose you first. You have a right to be happy. Hashtag You Matter. Have a wonder-filled week traveling down happy trails till we meet again. Enjoy.